Hometown Heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
New intro, same format. Welcome to year number 5 of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Man, that was a long 7 weeks that I was off the air. I got to be honest. I missed it. Had a good summer. Had a great summer. I'm going to get into that in just a second. But year 5 loading. High school sports every Saturday from 10 to 12 here at First String Sports. You guys know where First String Sports is, right on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side here at First String. No other place. I say this every show. No other place where I'd rather do my show than here. The ambiance is great. The color schemes on all the jackets, if I'm looking to my right. Hoover's in the house with that green, right? The combination of Central, Selma, Kalinga, Woodlake, the orange and the black. Bullard's right there, Kerman, defending D3 football champs. Madera to my left. I'm going to have Madera in the house today. Parlier, Clovis High, Clovis North. So thanks to First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors 4 years ago. Right, is when I started the show. Again, year 5. I'm excited to talk about high school sports, excited to talk about high school football. Right, I've been accused of being a little too romantic about high school sports. But, I mean, the truth is it's very important to people. It's very endearing. There's still, yes, some innocence to high school sports. Right, obviously everything gets a little more serious as you get down the line. Right, those of you that are right now in the Pee Wee soccer leagues, you know, I call it the amoeba soccer, where the kids are all huddled around the soccer ball. Nobody's spread apart, right? Going from that, graduating to the different aspects of, the Little League baseball. And it gets more serious, right? Everybody knows that as the next levels move on. But there's still a lot of innocence in high school sports, a lot to be celebrated. And that's what we do every Saturday from 10 to 12. I like to talk about the good stuff. Right. If you guys have listened to the show, if you're faithful listeners, or maybe it's the first time you're hearing the show, like, what's this guy all about? Well, I'm positive. There's a lot of negative stuff out there in the world, right? Check Twitter, you turn on the news, get dragged down a bit. Even with sports, right? A lot of stuff to complain about, but a lot more stuff to celebrate and be happy about. So I hope I bring that to you guys every Saturday. Little break from some of the craziness in the world and talk about scores, interview coaches, interview other media members. I ran a poll on Twitter. It's got a good sample size. I had over 100 votes, and I'm always welcoming feedback. I want to make the show as best as possible. So I put up, what do you enjoy most about the show? Game recaps and previews, coach interviews, athlete interviews, or media interviews. What I meant is bringing on other members of the media to talk about what's going on out there with sports. And the results were a little bit surprising, I'll be honest. Game recaps and previews. And when the football games start, I mean, I spend about a half an hour breaking down games that I've seen. Then I'll bring on other people to talk about the game. So games, recaps, and previews got almost 40% of the votes, 39.2%. Next, this was really close. The coaches' interviews and athlete interviews were only separated by a percentage point, 27.5 for coach interviews. Athlete interviews were 26.5. So you guys enjoy those, as do I. And then media interviews. And some of my media friends, obviously, they're on Twitter. They saw this, only 6.9%. And so we're like, what the heck, Paul? And I'm like, the people have spoken, right? I love my media interviews with my guys, breaking out on stuff. So anyway, I welcome this stuff, right? I want to know what you guys like to hear. So games and recaps are high. It won the poll, 40%. School's here, right? Madera Unified actually started school on Monday. Clovis Unified starting on the 13th. Fresno Unified on the 18th. I'm starting my 29th year in education. This is my full-time gig. I got to pay the big bills somehow. 29th year at Traver Elementary School District. We're actually a K through 8 school. I teach 5th grade. There we're starting. I go back on Monday, and then we get kids on that Wednesday. It was funny. I was at Target the other day. Seems like I go to Target every other day. And there's a mom with a couple kids, and they're getting a little unruly, complaining, dragging, right, all that stuff. And the mom turned to me and said, I can't wait for school to start. Can't wait. I think we've all been there as parents. So school's here, which means high school football is here, high school volleyball, all the fall sports. I had a good summer. I feel refreshed. I feel good. I planned a huge New York City trip with my wife for our 25th anniversary. Our anniversary is not till September, but we're both in education. I'm like, hey, we got summer break. Let's just do it. And I planned this huge vacation for, actually it's a trip, right? Vacation, you think more, you're lounging around on the beach or something. Then we were all on the go, that's for sure. So 4 nights there, I saw a couple Broadway shows, saw the Mets Angels. Alonzo hit a bomb, Mike Trout hit a homer, so that was cool. Greenwich Village, Central Park, we did everything. Stayed close to Times Square. So that was an awesome, awesome trip. I hope you guys had a good summer too and feeling good. Not everybody is in education. I get that, right? So I had to work through summer. But for those of us that have the cycle, our lives revolve around school. The summer break was really good for me, and I hope it was for you. All right, so we talked about the poll that I had on Twitter. So what's going on the show today? After the break, I have my football preseason rankings. I have 1 through 10. Then I have some other teams of notes. Maybe in the future I'll go up to 15. I'm going to talk about a few games of note in week one. So there's been some inter-squad scrimmages. Clovis High had their blue gold scrimmage. Clovis East had theirs. I think Clovis North had theirs last night as well. Buchanan has had theirs. So getting through the inner squad, right, still hitting each other, right? The kids talk about how tired they are of hitting each other in practice. Next week we'll have the scrimmages against another team. I know some schools have, you know, 3 different teams on one field and kind of rotate and stuff. So I'll be hitting those as well. And then the season's going to start on the 21st. There's 4 games on Thursday. McLean is playing on Thursday. They're playing Avenel. Looks like Reedley and Fresno are playing. Mishinoke and Sanger West and Central. The Central Grizzlies are playing Elite. And that's something we're going to have to get used to. The Central Grizzlies are the old campus, but got the name. Now we're going to have to get used to saying the Central East Bengals, the Division I defending champs, the 2019 state champs, the winners of 3 straight Central Section D1 titles. Yeah, those are the Central East Bengals. So whenever you hear that, yes, those are the old Grizzlies, the one coached by Kyle Biggs. Right? So we're going to have to get used to that. Everybody is. Heck, the media members up in Sacramento, up north, they didn't know who the Bengals were. Central's playing Grant High School up in Sacramento. And the state powers. We're playing them in week 2. And Joe Davidson, who does incredible work for the Sacramento Bee, tweeted out, you know, about the game against Central. And I said, hey, Joe, just as a reminder, I don't know if you know, they are now the Central East Bengals. And he put, like, Bengals? Question mark, question mark. What's up, Paul? What gives with that? So a lot of people don't know who the Central East Bengals are. Well, they're going to know when they play them on the football field, that's for sure. But after the break, I got my games to watch in week 1. I got my rankings, some players to watch as well. Really excited to bring that to you guys. At around 10:35, start my coaches' interviews, my coaches' guests. Got my Dara coach, Kenny Palinelli. He's going to join me. Kenny is awesome. He's great. Got to know him pretty well over the last 2 or 3 years. Broadcasted there. Central Section Championship game last year against Kerman. He's a football dude through and through. Always great to talk to Kenny. So around 10:35 or so, Coach Palinelli's coming in here to First String Sports. And then at 11 o'clock, George Petrasons. He has not been on the show yet this year. And he is the new coach at Clovis East. When I first started this high school stuff in 2000, it was actually late 2014, what really got going in 2015. Got to know George as he was the head coach at Clovis West High School. We know the quality of athletes that he had there, the Schramm twins, Rodney Wright, the third, and Adrian Martinez, who is battling for a roster spot in the New York Jets this year. In fact, I think he's playing at 5 o'clock on the NFL Network. They're one of their preseason games. I expect Adrian to get some reps. So George is coming on, taking over the Clovis East program. We're going to get into that all year, right? We know, those that know, know. Lots of shakeup in the track, especially. Clovis North got a new coach, Colby Hunter, who's the offensive coordinator at Clovis East. George, who's been the offensive coordinator at Justin Garza the last few years, now steps in as the head coach at East. So looking forward to talking to George, get his philosophy on coaching, what he learned, you know, coming out of being the head coach at Clovis West until now. George is a great guy. Excited about that. And then 11:30, did this last year's show. Central Section Commissioner Ryan Toss is coming here to First String Sports. It's good to get an overview of what the year looks like. Some changes. Are there some changes to qualifying for the playoffs? Are there some changes to league structure? That's the big one's going to be happening next year. Talked about it last year. Is it going to be a huge, huge realignment next year? Calling conferences different things. There's, you know, almost modeling after what college sports is looking like. So always good to catch up with Ryan Toss. He's a very transparent commissioner. He doesn't hide. He's very, very open. So we're going to get some answers from him. Couple things before we hit the break, and I come back with the rankings. We're again going to be showcasing our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week this year. Last year was a rousing success. Rousing success, I should say. The first 3 years, I had the privilege of having the Student Athletes of the Week. But Phil Bonatti, who you can listen to in the afternoons, took that over, and it's a huge deal. It's a big deal. Bringing the student athletes on, give them a bunch of swag when they're named student athletes of the week. And last year we had a huge banquet at the field house. I think 25 student athletes showed up and had a banquet for them, had a nice spread, had the stage set up, gave away a lot of money as well. The winners got, I think, $1,000 each. Everybody else got like a couple hundred dollars. iPads were given out. Cool deal. If you want to nominate anybody for ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, just go to the website under nominations, and we see all of those. And we vote on it, and we talk about the kids, and then we bring on student athletes. So we're bringing that back. Huge success last year. Very excited about that. And finally, McKay Madsen, we talked a lot about him last year. One of the greatest athletes in Central Section history. He was named 2024-2025 Cal High Sports Athlete of the Year. A huge, huge deal. The last one from the Central Section to win that award was Kazmir Allen in 17 and 18. We know what Kazmir did, set the national record for touchdowns in a season. And McKay Madsen was named after McKay Christensen. McKay Christensen was the 1994 Cal High Sports Athlete of the Year as well. So McKay was named after McKay, and both of them are Cal High Athletes of the Year. Very, very cool stuff. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you those rankings and some players to watch and games to watch. You're listening it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Touch this. You can't touch this. Thank you guys for listening, tuning into the show. Like I mentioned in my opener, year five. Loading right now. I think I take 2 weeks off in December at the end of December, but it's going to be every Saturday. Every Saturday, tune in 10 to 12. If you missed the show, though, you could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com under shows. Boom, click on my show. If you missed any part of it, all of the other shows from the past are archived as well, and we're also streaming. I'm streaming on my personal Facebook page. ESPN Fresno is streaming on their Facebook page, on Twitch, and on the YouTubes. So stepping up a little bit. I like it. All right, so I mentioned that I was going to go over my rankings right now. Before I do that, well, I got to do the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Weather Report. 106 is going to be the high today. What are we looking at right now? Put in the password on my phone. Right now it's 89 at 1026. So 106 today, 106 tomorrow, 106 on Monday, 104, 101. So that's what it looks like. And then we hit the 90s, which is cool. Right? So, all right, 106. It's going to be super hot. Well, that's what we expect in the San Joaquin Valley. It's been a relatively cool summer comparatively, which has been kind of nice. All right. So before I do get into the rankings, I feel like I have to mention this. So CIF, and we'll talk to Ryan Toss about this, their board of directives has used Cal Preps as the playoff seedings, going by their rankings. Well, if you type in Cal Preps now, you're going to be redirected to hsratings.com, highschoolratings.com. So there's this whole deal, this whole backstory about why now they changed because of the services that they are getting income from were no longer happening. So now, unfortunately, guys, it's now a paid website. You got to pay to look at their page, which kind of sucks, right? Sucks for just the casual fan, right? They want to check, hey, where's Dos Palace ranked right now? Where's Hoover High? Where's Bullard at? I paid the $40. I get 20 page views a day, which is kind of strange. So I'm looking at it right now, and the bottom says, you have 19 more clicks or 19 more page views left today. So I'm happy to help, right? So my hard-earned cash, right? You guys can riff off me. Go off what I paid for. So I'm happy to do that. So High School Ratings, hsratings.com is the website now. And you still get the same stats and team breakdowns and predictions and all that. All right. So the number one team on everybody's board in the central section, right? High School Ratings, Sports Illustrated High School, Cal High Sports hasn't come out with their state rankings yet. But Central East Bengals, clear-cut number one, no doubter. Division I, returning champs. They were the 3 seed last year when they beat Clovis East. And a lot of people are saying if you don't beat them now, they're going to be tough to beat for this year because they return pretty much everybody. Their core of offensive players comes back this year, which is scary. They should have won a state championship last year. Kyle Biggs will be the first to admit that. They're a couple plays away from beating Huntington Beach. They return everybody, including one of the best two-way players in the state, in my opinion, Arizona commit Brandon Smith. Rushed for over 1,800 yards last year, 25 touchdowns. He's a really good defensive back slash safety. Really good safety, but he's going to play outside linebacker this year because he's so talented, so athletic, side-to-side speed. I mean, the dude's a legit Division I running back playing linebacker. Return their quarterback, Jelani Dipple, threw 41 touchdowns last year, over 3,500 yards. Really came into his own when the league started. Took him a while. He's only a junior. E.J. Morgan, Zeb White, Bayon Harris, is wide receivers, studs. Those are all D1 dudes. We were thinking about this earlier, me and my media friends. We can't remember when there were 3 Division I wide receivers, Division I running back, and a future college quarterback in Dipple returning. And that's what Central East is doing this year. Yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. They play Inglewood in week 1 at home, a game that we're going to broadcast on 1430 ESPN Fresno. So if you're not able to go to the game, listen to it. We're going to be broadcasting it. Week 2 is going to be tough. Going to be playing at Grant. So Central East, clear-cut number one by everybody. Now, 2 and 3 is interesting. I was thinking about flip-flopping these. I got Clovis High and Frontier. Now, Frontier on paper, I got them at 3. I got Clovis at 2. Frontier on paper looks really, really good. I'll get into that in just a second. But Clovis High, I went to their blue-gold scrimmage the other day. Deegan Rose talked about him a lot for the last 4 years. Started quarterback as a freshman, thrown into the fire, and watched his progress throughout the years. He's a Division I arm, Division I body, headed to Oregon State. Maddox Merrill, the running back. He was also on varsity as a freshman. He's a dude. And they got a couple other guys. Carlos Young's very talented. Cyrus Mendez, tight end, defensive end. He looks good in pads. But Frontier's an interesting team. They won state. They won the D3 title, which is strange to me because they won the D1 single A here in the Central Section and got placed in D3 in state. But they won the whole thing, right? Not their fault. But they got a lot of guys that have transferred in. It's a big chatter. I heard they got up to 20 guys coming in. They got two Division I wide receivers. Their offensive line is huge. I heard they average like 280 pounds. It's a huge offensive line. So that's Frontier. Keep an eye on those guys. Next week, we're actually going to hear from Trevor Horn, who's down there in Bakersfield. He's going to know a lot more about these programs down in Bakersfield. I got Liberty at 4. They're always tough. They got Quinn Buckey, who's committed to Michigan State. He's an offensive lineman. His dad played in the NFL. His older brother is a Division I guy as well. Here's where it gets a little bit murky for me. I'll be honest. Even 5 through 10. Clovis West is going to be there. I got them at 5. Young team. Extremely talented offensively. J.J. Howard, their quarterback, blew up this summer. Tons of Division I offers. Fresno State offered him after the 7-on-7 deal that they had there on campus. He's got the size. He's got the arm. He's going to be the next, or he already is, next big-time recruit here in the Central Section. Major Lee's a sophomore this year. He was also up on varsity. Both those guys were freshmen, 14-year-old freshmen playing on varsity. He's a running back safety. And R.J. Jefferson is going to be a very talented receiver for them. Guy's a dude, has not played a varsity snap this year and already has a couple D1 offers. That's how talented he is. Titus Dimmer, stud linebacker. Clovis East is going to be there. We're going to be talking with George Petrasons. They got a new quarterback, new system. Jamie Spurgeon is going to be their quarterback. Lindsey Graves, stud running back. Unfortunately, he got hurt late last year. Wasn't able to help them in the playoffs. Webb is a talented cornerback. He's a Division I guy. Buchanan, watch their practice. Their defense is going to be really, really good. They're going to have some trouble scoring touchdowns. They got a good quarterback, Tommy Devaney. Grant Mosier is a Division I player. That was an offer from Fresno State. He's a tall kid, 6'4", is going to play safety. Donovan Dunmore committed to Oregon State. He's a defensive back. He's a really good player. Now, down in Tulare County, Tulare intrigues me. Offense is going to be a juggernaut. I think those guys are going to average 50 points a game. Jordan Crisp is a guy we've followed for a long time. He's a quarterback. He's finally a senior. A couple Division I receivers. Depth is probably going to be an issue for those guys. They landed. They actually had to play Clovis East. They were the 8th seed in playoffs last year, so they weren't too happy with that. So I think they're a team on a mission. Clovis North is going to be good. Colby Hunter's taken over. They got some speed with Tyree Sams. Offensive line is going to be another strength of theirs. Hanford's going to be good. I got them at 10. Kenneth Sanchez is coming on the show next week. We're going to talk about their team. Jaron Mao is their quarterback. He's bounced around a little bit. Started at Bullard as a freshman, I think around game 5. Went to Clovis West. Obviously, J.J. Howard was there. Now he's found himself at Hanford. They graduated a lot of guys this year. And then I'm just going to mention some teams. My gosh, it's already 10:34. Kenny Palinelli's here. We're ready to talk some football. Buller's going to be good. Tyler Franklin is a good quarterback. Tyron Pree at wide receiver. Redwood, a lot of eyes on them. You got a new coach in Curtis Allen. They got a Division I transfer, a 4-star kid that is headed to Miami. Aurora Grande, right? Probably the best team from the coast area. They got a huge offensive line. Some running backs are returning. Sanger's always going to be tough. Bakersfield Christian, Darren Carr, loves his team. A lot of returners this year. Bakersfield, they're going to be playing Buchanan in week 1. We're going to see where both of those teams stand. They graduated a lot, but I guess their JV team went 10-0, so they're going to have some guys step in. CBC with Coach Arax, he likes his team. Golden West is going to have another good team. All right. This is just the first show of many talking about high school football. I got a lot of information, as you guys can see. We're going to talk about more about these teams. But next, we got Coach Kenny Palinelli. We got to take a small break, and we'll talk to Kenny, head coach at Madera High School, about football, what his team looks like, and all that good stuff. You're listening to all of it on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. We got Coach Kenny Palinelli on the show right now. Our first guest in the 2025, God, so weird to say, 2026 school year. The alum of the school coming off a great season last year. They're a finalist in D3. Always great to have KP on the show. What's going on, man? How you doing? You're looking good as always. My gosh, you come in, just you're a workout fiend. You know, you got the tight shirt and everything's, you know, you're looking good. What's going on with you? How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, obviously happy to be here, excited for another football season, and, you know, just trying to keep my head above water at home with all the chaos.
Chaos, right? And so before we get into to the football stuff, you had another life change in this last summer. You more than doubled up. Right? So what happened this summer? Another life-changing year for you.
Yeah, so my wife and I we had twin boys, and so I got identical twin boys. They're about 3 months old now, and so I kind of took the last half of the school year off after the boys were born. They were born April 30th, so from April 30th on, I took off and was at home helping out with my wife, and I had to step away from the workouts and the football stuff that we were doing. I was able to make it back out there for spring ball, but it looked a lot different this spring for me. And so, you know, we were super blessed to have healthy boys and identical twins, Cash and Lennox Palinelli. And so we're super excited about that. And it's a lot of fun.
Adding to your daughter. How old's your daughter now?
My daughter just turned three. So
just turned three.
3 year old and a couple of 3 month olds. So,
so who was the final decision on the naming rights for the boys? How did that discussion go?
I mean, we didn't even expect to have two. And so when we found out we were having twins, she had always really liked the name Lennox, and I have always liked the name Cash, and so it was a pretty simple decision. We each got to name one, and that was kind of pretty cut and dry.
That's easy, right? Like, you wanted one name, she wanted another. Hey, guess what? We're having twins, identical twins. So identical twins. How about weight-wise? And are there any – like signs that you can tell them apart right now? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, well, they were both preemies. So when they were born, Cash was a little bit bigger. He was about 5 pounds, and Lennox was about 4 pounds. So Cash, you can still see the chunkiness in his face. But it's really hard to tell sometimes. I get them confused. Obviously, now they're both growing really well, and so it's hard to tell the difference.
Did they look like you and your baby, like your baby pictures? Did they look like...
I think now they're starting to look like me. Penny, my daughter Penny, she was my identical twin as a kid. And these boys are starting to look more like me as well. So at least I think so.
Diaper duty, how are you on that? You have an A-plus game on that?
I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm a pretty good diaper changer.
All right.
I'm not as fast as my wife because I got the bigger hands, but I can get the job done, you know. So it definitely takes all hands on deck to do everything with the boys.
It does. Yes, and especially with twins and a three-year-old. So awesome stuff, man. I obviously follow you on social media and follow your wife too. And the videos are phenomenal. And, yeah, congrats to you. That's good stuff. All right, so football-wise, you mentioned how they were born in April and your coaching staff was able to take over while you took, was able to stay at home. What did your summer look like, right, with the football team, and how did you guys progress this summer?
I mean, it was our usual summer. We try to keep the same schedule we do every year, and so that way there's some continuity with each group that comes in. And so our summer was the exact same as we do it every year, so it went really smooth for us. And I was able to be there. Luckily, I have a rock star wife who allows me to do what I do, and she holds down the fort at home, and I'm able to be there with my boys. And I just – a lot of traveling back and forth. Luckily, I got a Tesla, so it doesn't cost me too much gas. But I'll run the workouts in the morning, go home for a little bit, then come back for practice later in the night. And so, you know, I'm super lucky to have someone in my corner that understands what I'm doing and it supports me in it. So,
absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned – texting back and forth. that you graduated 21 seniors from last year. So just give us an overview of what your team looks like this year. I would say that's a huge chunk of players that you lost and some really good athletes as well. Just kind of walk us through what this year's team's going to look like at Madera.
We're very youthful. We have 10 seniors this year, four of which that have played meaningful snaps. I have four returning starters total on each either side of the ball. So we're going to be youthful, but we are tough. You know, we always have that Madera grit. We're tough. You know, we're ready to compete. Our boys like to compete. And so, you know, even though we're young, we're not going to make any excuses and we're not going to drop expectations of ourselves. You know, we're excited to get out and compete and see what we can do, you know. So,
leadership-wise, that's always a huge part of any team in any sport, right? You want your leaders to step up. Is that something that you're really going to be focused on this year? Some guys that are natural leaders that step up, or are you pulling guys aside and say, hey, we're going to need you to step up, lead these guys, get on this guy a little bit, or make sure this guy's in the right formation, or get on this guy that's not, you know, maybe dragging a bit. Like, is that a natural progression for some of your players, or are you having to bring it out of them?
No, I think, you know, we have some core seniors that have been in the program for 4 years that understand that this is my time now. And we actually have some younger guys, you know, juniors that are stepping up because we have such a lack of seniors this year, guys that are stepping up and stepping into leadership roles, maybe not vocally, but by example and helping guys out, taking them under their wing. Like, you know, they were sophomores on varsity last year and now they're a lot more comfortable. They know what they're doing. Yeah. And so they're taking the younger guys, you know, by their wing and teaching them what we do and how we do it, you know? So that's nice to see.
All right, so give us some names. So who is going to be your quarterback, or you got a quarterback competition? Who's going to be running the ball? Who are some guys you're going to lean on this year?
So our quarterback this year is going to be Elias Mina. He's a sophomore. He played 3 games on JV last year before he fractured his collarbone. And so up to that point, we were undefeated on JV. And so we really like him. He's a young kid, super smart kid. Obviously, you know, he hasn't played varsity football yet, so that's going to be something new for him. He's definitely going to get thrown in the fire next week against Hanford. That's not an easy place to scrimmage. But we like him. We're excited about him. We have a freshman running back. His name's Anthony Estrada. Really, really good kid. He's going to play varsity football for us this year. We're really excited about him. We also have another running back, Jesse Rodriguez, who's a returner. He ran for 250 yards in the playoffs for us last year against Napomo, so we're excited about him as well. We have what I think is the best tight end in the Valley. His name's Jaden Martinez. He's 6'4", about 220-pound kid. What's cool about him is he loves blocking just as much as he loves receiving. So he can play in line, hand in his dirt. We can spread him out and put him one-on-one with a DB, and we feel comfortable in both of those scenarios. And then we have Lawrence Flores, who's the returning CMAC specialist of the year as a sophomore last year. He's, in my opinion, one of the better corners in our league. He was voted so by all the coaches last year. He received the most votes in all league for corners. But he ended up getting specialist of the year. He had 5 kick return touchdowns last year. And so he's dynamic on both sides of the ball. He's just an athlete. He'll play running back. He'll play receiver. He'll play DB. And he'll return punts and kicks for us. So he does it all. So
numbers-wise, Where are you guys at right now?
It's roster wise?
Yes, roster, yeah. And lower levels and all that.
We're about where we are. We're a little bit thinner at varsity this year, so we have about 40 kids total on our varsity team, which is the lowest I've had since I've been a head coach. But it was kind of a weird year for us. We're sitting at about 55 on the JV level because we don't have a freshman team. So in total, we're a little bit lower than normal, but we expect it to rise. We got a really good incoming freshman class, and I really like what we're doing at the 7th and 8th grade levels as well. So
we got a freshman running back.
Yeah.
Excited to watch this kid.
Yes.
Stadium upgrades, right? Where are we at with that? Help me out, right?
Like, yeah,
is that coming to mind? Like,
it's a hot topic.
It's a hot topic. All right. So how much time we got to talk about this? What's going on with stadium?
I'll just give you the cliff notes.
Okay.
Basically, it's out for bidding, and they should be beginning construction in late September, we're hoping. At least that's the last I've been told. So we're going to be road dogs this year. We're playing all of our games on the road. Our home games will be played. Our first 2 home games are at Matilda Torres, and then our last league games will be at Madera South. So
That is the Cliffs Notes version.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're excited about construction. Hopefully that gets going. We are okay going on the road to get that facility upgrade because when it's done, it's going to be one of the best in the valley.
Yeah, so stuff is flooding back to me now, right? So we did a couple of your games the last few years, the championship game in Kerman, and I remember, yeah, so you're going to have these ripped out. We're going to, you know, move this here, move that there. So, all right, so hopefully in September,
yep.
Right, that's what you're saying, and then Road Dogs this year playing your home games at Matilda Torres, and then hopefully – for next season, everything's going to be good to go.
I doubt
Fingers
it.
Crossed.
I doubt it. I think it's a two-year project.
It's a big deal, right?
Yeah, they're doing a lot, so it's going to take at least 2 years.
Got it. So I mentioned a bit championship game against Kerman last year. A lot of build-up to that game. It was an awesome environment. We broadcasted the game. I think was TV there too.
Maybe yeah.
TV was there. It was a big deal, and it didn't go your way. Kerman played incredible game. They won their first title in school history in football. You're a Madera Coyote through and through. You're an alum of the school. You were a four sport guy when you were an athlete there. How hard was the talk at the end of the game when you had to look those kids in their eyes and see the tears? I'm sure. Like what? How did you express yourself? How did you frame everything in front of those kids?
I mean, it was heartbreaking, you know, and so, you know, you spend so much time together, you know, it's almost a full year of work and preparation and everything that goes into it. And so, obviously, the message to the boys was they can hold their heads high because of how far they came. And I think for me, it's just about the process, right? We talked about the process a lot of the process of being successful is more important than actually looking at the results that you get from the process, right? If you do things right all the time, it doesn't guarantee you success, but it just guarantees to put you in a place that you have the opportunity for success. And I think that's something we try to preach to our kids is it's really, we can't be results oriented. It's about how far you've come. You know, you're a better man on the other side of all that work that you put in because, you know, you did it. And a lot of people cannot do it. And so I think that was just kind of the message to those boys at the end of that game. And I was super proud of them. I was super proud of our community. They showed up, and I mean, I was in tears just because I was hurt for the kids, but also because of just it was such a special moment. You know, when I pulled up to the stadium and I saw people tailgating out in front of our locker room and that kind of stuff, I've never seen that. And I've been in Madera my whole life. I've never seen that. I literally just took time to walk through and thank people because – it means a lot to me, not only because I'm the coach, but because I'm from Madera. Like, to see people have that amount of pride in what we're doing, it's super fulfilling for me, and it's why I took the job, you know. So,
wait, you said this is your sixth year as a head coach, or seventh?
It'll be my seventh.
It will be your seventh year. How would have been your reaction to losing that game early in your coaching career compared to today? Right, like you talk about the maturity, and you know, you just got identical twins welcoming to your home, along with your 3-year-old daughter. Like, what would have been the difference?
I can honestly say it would have been completely different. You know, I think you and I had alluded to this earlier. Is like you kind of take it personally when you lose. When I was younger, I took it very personal. Like it was a reflection of who I was as a coach or how I'm running my program. Like it's not good enough. I think now, you know, now that I'm a father and it just changes your whole perspective on everything. You have a deeper sense of, you know, connection with these kids because you understand that you're a father and you look at them and it's like, I need to be that kind of person for these kids as well. You know, I need to teach them all these things and I can't act like a little baby when I lose or I need to teach them how to absorb the adversity of a loss and learn how to put your head down and work again. I'm trying to set the example for these boys every day. You know, I don't dwell on one loss because, you know, we tried to do everything we could. It wasn't like we didn't prepare. It wasn't like we didn't watch film. It wasn't like we didn't have a good week of practice. We didn't play our best game, and sometimes that happens. And so, yeah, I think the reaction would have been completely different in my early years of coaching. And, you know, I'm lucky to be where I'm at now. Maturity-wise, I just think there's been a lot of growth in the last 6 years for me.
Yeah, good stuff. Scrimmage next week? Hanford, right?
At Hanford, yes.
At Hanford. Friday? Is it a Friday night scrimmage?
It's a Friday night scrimmage.
All right. Okay, so this is going to do some more specific games and whatnot on your schedule. So I got your schedule right here. Look at the spreadsheet, color coordinate and everything. Isn't this beautiful? I refer to this thing about 30 times a day. All right, so Sunnyside, you start your season off. Obviously some changes with Sunnyside, right? They lost a lot of players. The coaching staff has flipped a bit. What do you expect? I'm sure you've looked at some film already. What do you expect in that football game?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to expect. I think we're kind of preparing for everything. I'm not too familiar with the staff that's taking over. And so, obviously, we're going to exchange scrimmage films, and I think that'll be our first opportunity to kind of see what they're doing. I'm expecting them to be tough. They're always tough. Sunnyside has played us tough. At least they played us really tough last year. And, you know, obviously they handed us a loss last year. So, you know, the first game of the year is always – there's a lot of unknowns, but it's one you circle. It's one you want to get off on the right foot for. And, you know, so we're looking forward to it.
And you got Torres, Paso, Robles. That game's going to be at Torres Stadium?
Yeah, Paso game. They got a good quarterback transfer in. The Napomo kid, Blaine Lowry, transferred into Paso, so they should be pretty dynamic. He's about a 6'4 kid. He can sling it. He can sling it, so.
And then Madera South and Merced, and then you start CMAC with Edison Bullard, Memorial, Sanger, Justin Garza. We've got a couple minutes here with KP. All right, you still got your crazy morning routine? You blew me away last year when you talked like getting up at 4:30 and this crazy stuff, yoga and whatnot. You still rocking that? I know you have the twins, but
yeah,
did that knock off your schedule a bit?
As I said, I have a rock star wife, so I'm lucky. You know, we got the boys on a pretty good sleeping routine now, so I'm up usually around 3:15, and then I'm out the door. Hopefully, I try to get out of the door around like 4:15, depending on how fast the coffee brews and all that kind of good stuff. Sometimes the boys do wake up, so I'll feed one before I go. I'm lucky to have a rock star wife that kind of handles it and allows me to keep my routine. I really do like to get there before the boys so I can get my workout in, and I have all the workout ready before they get there. And it's just kind of my routine. I watch a little bit of film, that kind of stuff. So,
all right, still blows me away. Still blows me away. you are a one of one, that's for sure. All right. I can't end our talk without hearing you got great stories, right? And I remember I asked you once about when you played in the city county game. You were a quarterback, right? You played the city county game, and there was a big fight, and you were off to the sidelines, just kind of watching it. Like, yeah, I'm not getting in that thing, right? I'm playing college football. I'm not gonna get hurt. Stupid fight. All right. So, what's like a story, like the most intense football game you ever played in? Played Clovis High back in the day, right? Because you guys are in the same league. Like, what game do you remember is just being a knockdown, drag out, smack talking, spitting blood kind of stuff?
I think it was my senior night against Clovis West. It was a super, super physical game. They had guys like Jordan Rivera, JJ Gelmini, Sweeney was playing quarterback, and they were ranked number one, I believe, at the time. Because all of us track schools were battling, and we had just taken a big loss to Central. We shouldn't have lost that game. And so coming back the next week, I think Clovis West had just had a big win. And they had Pat Hill's son on the team, and so he was at the game. And so it just felt big, and it was at home. It was our senior night. And so, we came out and we played, and I had one of my best games I've ever had in my life. And I just remember Jordan. I remember I was running the ball, and I got – tackled but stood up. It was I think Nelson who ended up going to USC and punting, I think was his name. They were the two middle linebackers. I remember he stood me up and I turned and Jordan was coming full speed with his neck roll and just cleaned me out. I mean, snot came out of my nose. That's the hardest I think I've ever been hit, even in college days. But I just remember that game just being a slobber knocker, and we were getting after each other, and we ended up coming out on top of setting them. So it was a big deal to win on our home field, and it was a very, very memorable game. So
when you got hit, did you pop up?
Oh yeah,
or you pop up. You're not.
Yeah, I don't. It didn't hurt me. It's just I've never been hit to where snot came out of my nose. That was the first time that's ever happened to me. So maybe I was just sick that week. I don't know, but it was a heck of a game, and I know nobody picked us to win that game, and so it helped out winning that game for sure for us.
All right. Good stuff as always. Hey, you were my first guest in this brand new year. We got George Petrasson's coming on next. He's waiting here at First String Sports. So always great to talk to you, catch up, man. And You are a Madera guy through and through, and we love that about you. So good luck the rest of the year. I'm sure we'll be texting throughout the year.
Yes,
and congrats again on the additions to the family.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, as always.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to bring on George Petrasson, the new head football coach at Clovis East. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
All right, hour number two. Hour number one just flowed. I got to be honest, that went by quick. I'm digging that new intro as well. Great talk with Kenny Palinelli, head coach at Madera High School. He's one of the good guys, and he could definitely tell a good story, man. I like the way he framed getting hit by Jordan Rivera at Clovis West. He got stood up, got popped, what, snot, you know, coming out of his nose. And he's got a future in broadcasting, I think. He's very good descriptive-wise. So, anyway, thanks to KP for coming on the show. They got George Petrasson right now here live at First String Sports. I've known George for a while. I mentioned my opener, George. I don't know if you heard that, when I started this high school stuff, started this gig, you were coaching at Clovis West, and remember, you were always really kind to me. You were cool. Like, Paul, come anytime to practice. You know, you'd even come over and talk to me during practice. So I always appreciated that about you. And now you are the head coach at Clovis East, a new experience for you as well. We're going to get into all that good stuff. But first of all, George, welcome.
Thank you.
And how's
thank
your
you for, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How was your summer? What did that look like? Obviously, a different time. I assume you're teaching there as well, so that's
yes.
That's an adjustment. But what was summer like for you? And just kind of walk us through that time.
Summer flew by. I felt like I just blinked, and we were in May. But it was great because this was really the time that we started kind of getting on the same page with all the coaches. It's a new staff. We're all working together. For the first time, guys that were kept from last year's staff, mixing in with guys that I've known for a long time but have never coached with as well. So, I'm blessed because we were able to keep, Tyrone Bishop, John Capriola, Trenton Holloway, I know I'm a Billy Erdman, another great one, off of last year's staff. And then we added Kavika Baumgartner, who was a D lineman at Fresno State, and he's coming aboard for his first year coaching. And then mixing in guys like Kevin Robinson from last year's staff as well was stayed on there. But then mixing in guys like Gordon Wood from Sunnyside High School, Tom Wilson, and myself, and we're all just trying to, figure things out together, So it's been cool just watching how us interact with each other and mixing ideas and, trying to figure out things that they did in the past that they did really well, mixing in stuff that, Gordon or Tom or myself have done in the past and just really collaborating together and, trying to bring the best positive attitude to our program for our kids to enjoy football.
It's definitely going to be a process, isn't
it?
Right?
It's absolutely a process.
I mean, every coaching season in any sport, there's a process to it. There's the summer and the coaching staff and working with the roster and seeing what the strengths of each team. I do want to ask you, because I watched your son, Jack, play football at Justin Garza, where you're the offensive coordinator. Where's Jack at now, how's the dynamic of your family changed? We talked with KP about he's got identical twins, right? And different stages of life. Where were you with the kids?
So I have one, and it's Jack.
Yeah.
And Jack was lucky enough to get into the Air Force Academy, and he's playing football for the Air Force Academy, and he's going through training camp right now. So he last year was at the prep school for Air Force Academy, played football for them there, and then got the chance to go to the academy. this
nice.
Year. And
awesome.
So he's super excited. And what was cool about summer was that, you know, he came back from school the, you know, third week of May, and he was able to, you know, coach with us as a volunteer for Clovis East as well. So it was really a good experience to be able to work with my son, you know, watching him coach other guys and, you know, watching him grow as a man. It's been awesome.
So the academy, the armed forces, changed kids. There's no doubt about that. What were some things that you noticed about him? You're like is he a mini-me, or he's like way more mature than I was back at his age? Where were you at with that?
So Jack and I are like, we're like two different people. And Jack is, he's such a fun-loving kid and you know, loves to laugh and joke around. But then there's really parts that I see him in where he's like really serious. And like, there's things that he just really, hey, you've got to really do it this way. And that's in the weight room. That's his baby. And he loves that. But there's, you know, as far as the military impacting him, as far as I was thinking that there's going to be changes in the house of how he – no.
No.
It's like he went right back to his old ways, you know, like when he came back home. It was like, hey, hair came down. But, like, he was like –
throwing his clothes on the floor, you know, you got the stink pile over there, that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, here's a good story about Jack. So, like, you know, we're doing some FaceTime at the end of his first year of the prep school, and I said, hey, man, you know, your hair's getting a little long. He goes, oh, Dad, don't worry. I got a hack. I said, what do you mean you got a hack? He goes, well, you know, first off, I want to have my hair longer for the summer, you know, because, you know, I've got to be social
sure.
in the summertime,
okay.
right, and I can't look a certain way. But here's my hack. You know, I'll just put a bunch of grease on top of my head, and I'll just flatten it down super flat so it looks like – I got short hair. They don't bother me. I'm good.
Oh, so a life hack, right? That's
yeah,
what he's saying with
hack.
The hack,
yeah,
right?
A life
greasing
hack.
His hair, going
yeah.
back to the 50s. Oh, my gosh. All right.
That's my boy.
That is your boy. All right, so scrimmage last night. Are you
yeah.
talking to KP a little bit about it?
Yeah.
All those things that you mentioned about this summer, right? Gelling as a coaching staff, right? Trying a few things out, new quarterback, some new players
yes.
as well from last year. Your overall assessment of the scrimmage, inter-squad, right?
Yep.
Hitting each other, right?
Right.
Was what?
Just like any other inter-squad scrimmage, I think if you ask a coach, they'd say, there's some good things and there's some bad things, and then there's things that are just like, oh, boy, we really need work on this, right? And it was the one difficult thing, hard for the players, because we had, as a program, committed to going early in the morning and lifting early in the morning, practicing early in the morning. And generally, they were done by, you know, 10 a.m., you know. And last night was their first night of going against each other in the evening, in the heat. And so there was some challenges there, you know, which, again, you know, we were aware of it. And we're going to adjust this week for our practice schedule to kind of help you know, to go against CVC, because that's mm-hmm. going to be our time is at 7 o'clock in the evening. So we need to acclimate to the heat more. And so we're going to start to do that. And then on top of that, we have teachers going back to, you know, Clovis East High School. So they've got training and stuff. So we have to adjust at this time. And most schools have to adjust at this time. But, you know, we'll fix the issues that we have, and we'll be ready to go.
Let's talk about some players. So Lindsey Graves had a great season last year up until he got hurt. He's got some scholarship offers out there. You got O'Shea Webb, right, as a DB.
Nice.
Those are probably two guys that you're really leaning on this year on and off the field.
So one thing I want to say before I start talking to these about these individual players, the group itself has been tremendous. And I've been telling some of the guys on our team, players, you know, this is probably one of the better decisions I've made in my life, is coming back to be a head coach and to be at Clovis East. Because, you know, as I've gone through this summer with them, these kids are tremendous. They're wonderful. They're such hard workers. They've got a great, you know, sense of purpose. And, you know, guys like Lindsey and O'Shea, you know, they make, you know, coach's life a lot easier because of their outstanding ability and athleticism. And, you know, it's still come through, you know, with that when we see them play. But there's, you know, there's more guys on that staff or on that team that's just, you know, O'Shea and Lindsay are wonderful, you know. But there's some really other players that just, you know, I'm really anxious to see how they grow in front of everybody, you know, and play when the lights come on. You know, guys like Jamie Spurgeon, Elijah Wilson, you know, we've got Tristan Kircher, Devin Woodard, Gino Capriola, just like some really, really special players. And then, you know, guys like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm slipping one. Deegan Bingham, you know, a sophomore left tackle that I'm really, you know, anxious to see how he grows and continues to develop. There's more, but it's just, you know, really excited about these guys.
And, you know, with those two guys, I know I led off with those two guys because I'm very familiar with those. I got, right. You know, I went to school with Lindsay's,
yes.
With Lindsay's okay. Dad.
Yeah,
his father at Emmanuel High
yep.
School. And, right, so, I mean, those are guys that you could really build teams around. But those other guys you mentioned, obviously very experienced, you know, going through what they did last year. Kircher, that kid's a stud too, right?
Oh.
Like, I mean, you got some really good players coming back from last year's squad.
So, you know, I didn't even mention Tavion Horton, who's –
oh, gosh, yes.
Know, Jesus, he's wonderful. But, like,
yeah.
You know, Tristan Kircher, I mean, they're – there's only about, I want to say, four guys that had a lot of game time experience that came back from last year's, you know, track championship team. And so a lot of these guys that I'm mentioning were juniors watching these guys play, and now they're getting their opportunity to play. And really, so that's a growing thing that as well, because, you know, they know the success that they've had at Clovis East, and now they've got to pick up the mantle and do it themselves, right? But, like, you know, Tristan Kircher was one of those guys that was a returning starter, and, you know, he's going to be all over the field for us. I mean, he's, you know, starter on defense. He's doing special teams for us. He's going to play tailback. He's our backup quarterback. You know, he's like, you know, he's like the
– he's a Swiss Army knife.
He's a
little
bit everything. Knife. He does everything and just – but just a great kid and a great leader and, you know, wonderful athlete, baseball player too, that has aspirations to go on and play at the next level. And I sure hope that he has that opportunity.
Identity-wise, George, what do you hope to bring to Clovis East? What do you and your coaching staff hope identity-wise that this season is going to?
Well, I think what's going to come to bear to fruition is that our defense is really going to be our – rock of our team. You know, a lot more veterans on that side of the ball, and they are tenacious. I mean, we've been really going after them, you know, all summer long, and they're frustrating our offensive coaches because, like, they're just, you know, there's such really good players out there. They're gonna, and we're younger at times on offense, and it's and we keep telling our guys on offense, this is going to make you better. This is going to make you better. This defensive line is, you know, going to be one of the best in the Valley, you know. And, you know, the secondary is really good, you know. So there is, you know, we're growing and we're competing on a daily basis. And I think that defense, though, is going to really help us. Offensively, you know, we've got some great, you know, players that we've talked about. But as far as identity, you know, we're going to be an open team. We're going to be playing with tempo. We are going to get the ball out in the perimeter. We're going to do our best to run downhill at you and give quarterbacks, our quarterback, the ability to make decisions. And I think and if you play quarterback, I really do feel like the offense that, you know, we are going to promote or do out there is really going to be beneficial for you, that if you want to go on and play the next level, because you're going to have the ability to make decisions and checks, and something that not all offenses do in high school. But I think it'll prepare you for the next level, you know, guys like, you know, we've done a lot of the same type of stuff that when Adrian Martinez was with us at Clovis West. And, you know, I know when watching, you know, Adrian play and going on to play at Nebraska and then Kansas State, those were things that, you know, their coaches would say to me was that he was ready mentally to be able to succeed. Now, there were things that he obviously had to adjust to, speed of the game, you know, other concepts that their coaches wanted him to do. But I felt like and Adrian was special.
But, we're going to talk about Adrian later. Yeah. I got some questions for you. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I just think that's what we're going to end up doing.
And knowing what I know about Jamie Spurgeon, saw him play a little bit, saw him line up at tight end last year. His dad was a pro baseball player, right, and all that stuff. He can scoot too,
yes,
right? He's a pretty thick kid as well. I mean, in a good way. He's strong.
So Jamie's – he's
about 6'4"?
6'4", 6'5", maybe even. And he's about 205 and not shy to be physical and, you know, have contact. And he can run and he can throw. And, you know, he's really blossoming right now. And I just I'm really excited to watch him grow.
Yeah.
And he's such a good kid, man. I mean, like, it's a, you know, just really can tell he's just taking it all in and just really wants to be coachable. Just it's a credit to his family of like how he is as a person. But I can't say enough about Jamie. We're all just super excited.
Well, how about this? Doesn't play baseball as a freshman, plays last year as a sophomore, is throwing 90 miles an hour, right? Like,
I know.
That speaks a lot about his athletic ability.
I was talking to Gabe last night, and just some qualities that you're just – it's just uncoachable.
Yeah.
Right? He just has those skills, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but, like, it's one thing to have all those skills, and then, you know, sometimes you've coached guys that – well, they're not open to your ideas of trying to get them better. Jamie is not like that. Mm-hmm. Jamie is like he wants to.
He's all in. He's all in. Very
he's
coachable.
In.
Like that.
Yes.
I want to ask you, George. You know, like I mentioned, we've known each other for a while, but how you landed the job at Clovis East? Just walk us through that.
Yeah.
You know, you spent some time at Justin Garza, offensive coordinator,
yeah.
And right. Just walk us through how you got the job.
Kind of a little, you know, kind of weird, a little different. I knew I wanted to be a head coach again, and I'd been feeling that way for the last year. And you know, once leaving Clovis West, you know, you go through these challenges as a head coach or just as a coach. I'm entering my 31st year, but, like, you go through waves. And I had been at my when I finished at Clovis West, I'd been a head coach for 8 straight years, and it was just kind of like, okay, I need to catch my breath a little bit. I still want to coach, you know, but I didn't want to be a head coach. And so then you get opportunities to go coach at Clovis North and at Justin Garza, and it was really cool to be able to watch guys like Mike Jacot, Joseph Ferris lead their programs and see things that you really like, how they would do things, and just kind of memory bank them and just really kind of, you know, learn from them and grow from them. Like, you know, with Coach Ferris, I just really felt he has such a great connection with the kids. I mean, he has such a great bond with them. And, you know, there are times that, like, I was very, you know, I kind of lead towards more of being, you know, I'd say harder, you know. And then I'd kind of watch Coach Ferris, you know, interact with the players. And I went, God, I didn't really have to be the way that I was at Clovis West. Or there were things that, you know, occurred, that, like, you know, situations. And I didn't have to be this way. And I've kind of, you know, it's kind of opened my eyes a little bit more of how to be, you know. And so I value those times away from, you know, being a head coach. I feel like it's really going to help me. And so I applied for the Clovis South job. Okay. And
is this like February, March?
This was beginning of January.
Okay.
And was really having some great conversations, was really, you know, all in on it, went through the interview process. And then, you know, the difference was that Clovis Unified was going through their process of opening a brand new school, mm-hmm. and jobs being shifted, and Clovis South at the time, there were some problems with how that whole transition was about to occur. And I got a call from, during that process, I got a call from Clovis East, and they had just finished their first rounds of interviews, and they were kind of opening it back up. And they just asked if I was interested, and I said, yeah, absolutely. So we went through that process. It was about 3 months, before they could really, we could lock it in. But, it was long, but well worth it. Well worth it. It honestly reminds me a very similar of me at Clovis West, because, I think in any job that you have, you really want to work with great people. And that was my time at Clovis West. I mean, admin, superintendents, from Dr. Hammock to Emer O'Farrell, to Matt Loggins, to all the other coaches, Neil Castro, Jason Simonetti, Rich Paris, all guys at Clovis West that I just kind of grew up with, that I just felt like there was just always a really good connection, that we could always talk about issues that we had, and not always agree, but it was never such a point where it was so confrontational that you couldn't work, right? And so and that's how I feel at Clovis East. There's just a great family atmosphere. There's people wanting you to be successful, trying to provide things for you that can lead you to be successful. And then, you mix that in with the players, and it's just it's really fun right now.
So you mentioned, George, how you felt ready, right? You felt ready for the position of being the head coach, right, as the OC. And it's true, right? As the OC, you're like, I worry about my offense. I don't got to worry about whatever, snack shops or whatever head coaches got to worry about. I'm sure you probably got about 5 or 6 texts already within the last hour about things to do or things to think about. Why did you think that you were ready for this head coaching job, especially in Clovis Unified, where there's a lot of eyes out there?
When I came to Clovis Unified, my son was 9. Mm-hmm. And I've always valued trying to be a good father to my son, and so you watch him grow, and you're trying to help him in any situations that he needs, or as a coach for the last 2 years when I was coaching him, and there were those were other issues that we had to go through. But then he leaves, and your world has kind of been around your son and your wife, and I still am with my wife, and we're going through that process of being empty nesters. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I needed more, and I've always, Tim Simons has always been someone for me that I just God, for him to coach all the way through this time, mm-hmm. James Moxley, just Bill Crawford, Tom Deal. I mean, to me, legends of this area that have coached for so long and to impact players for so long. I always wanted to kind of be like that. And so I still do. And I just felt like it was time for me, after learning the things that I've learned the past 6 years from other coaches, that it was time. And I just always felt like at Clovis West, I could have done better. I just wanted to do better. And it's just driving me, So that's where it's at.
And you got the Wolfpack shirt on, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wolfpack shirt. All right, so let's talk. Oh, man, time is flying by. Bullard, right? Week one. Yeah. You got Bullard, Kingsburg, where my students go. Sanger, Grant, and Lemoore. Looking at that non-league, and obviously track is the track. What stands out to you in that non-league schedule?
What stands out to me is CVC, because that's what we're starting next.
The scrimmage.
Yes, the scrimmage. But I'm literally right now, I'm not, it's a day-by-day approach, right now. And I just want our guys to continue to work hard and challenge each other and be great teammates to each other. But, like, you know, the schedule itself, you know, if we're just talking schedule, I mean, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, Bullard's going to be a heck of a game, you know. And so is, you know, I can go through that whole entire list. I mean, you look at a team like Kingsburg. I mean, just historically, tremendous program. Sanger, same way. Grant is going to be, you know, one of the top teams in the state, you know, definitely in Northern California. And they've got tremendous athletes all around it. Coming from Sacramento, you know, Grant has always been, you know, a really high quality team. But, you know, just want to, you know, try to teach our guys just to be day to day.
I know that's my job, right? I'm asking you about these five, and you're like, Paul, I want to focus on today, tomorrow, and CB stinking C. And you're asking me about them. All right, so I promised an Adrian Martinez story from you. He's been on my show twice. He's been gracious enough to come on and talk about his experience in college, and then with the New York Jets. I think he's playing at 5 o'clock today, right? The Jets are playing.
I'm not sure.
Okay, you're not sure.
We have our kickoff dinner. Hey, we have our kickoff dinner tonight, so it's right around that time. So
okay, all right.
Hopefully there'll be a TV around, or I'm gonna have to record it.
Check your phone.
Yeah.
All right. So give me. Gosh, we could talk about him for probably a half an hour straight. Yeah. So what's something really, really cool, your interaction with Adrian, or watching him on the field or watching him on TV? Like, what's something that comes to the forefront of your mind with that guy?
Well, the first thing, when I just sit and think about Adrian, you know, and just put all his athleticism away, is just how wonderful he is with his family and how great his family is with each other. I mean, and Adrian was, you know, one of those players that you just don't get to coach you look at my career, you don't get to coach a guy like Adrian very often, you know. In 31 years, you know, if someone were to ask me who's one of your top players, Adrian's, you know, top one or two. You know, I've got a huge picture of him when he was sophomore year playing Edison. His dad was able to give me that. You know, I just look at it. I don't have a specific, just one little, it's a stupid story. But, you know, it's like, as a sophomore, we were trying to get to know each other, and he'd come into the office, and, like, we'd make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the kids after they would work out. So we have a ton of peanut butter and jelly in the cabinets. And I don't know why this sticks with me, but all the labels were, like, turned differently. Right. And Adrian kind of said to Adrian, I noticed this. It was just like he would come in and he would straighten all the labels. And it was very, you know, a certain way. And I started internally just kind of watching. I didn't say anything to him initially when he first started to do this. But it was like a little pattern. He would do this. And I would just looking back, I chuckled because it kind of said a lot to his attention to detail of things. And as he started to grow as a man, and it's a stupid thing that I just remember, but I loved coaching him. I loved it.
Well, you hit it on the head, right? Like, attention to detail. He wants something done a certain way. He didn't like the way the peanut butter jar labels are. So you got to arrange them in the right spot. Translate it to the football field.
I know, right? But as a coach, there's so many little details that you're trying to get your kids. Do you wonder if they grasping these little details that we're trying to get? But, like, it just kind of made me feel more confident in Adrian because, like, he just, you know, he was so, you know, right on it, you know.
And then what he did on the football field, right? We followed his career with great interest.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Good stuff, George. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. I can't wait to watch you coach on the sidelines. And I mentioned at the beginning how you were kind to me, and we'd have good conversation. You invite me to the office. We talk about life and football and all this good stuff. But anyway, here we are. You're coach of Clovis East. You're going to have a great season. I'm excited. And look forward to everything. Thanks, George.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to talk with Ryan Toss, the commissioner of the Central Section. what's going to look the same, what's going to look different, and what rule changes are there going to be, and all that good stuff. You're listening to All in the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
That Minnesota. When I wake up,
well, I know I'm going to be the good conversation with George Petrosans. You get to know different coaches and their style, and he's like KP, like Pelinelli at Madera. George is a very reflective guy. He's very honest about, what he could have done different at Clovis West. Obviously, he had very talented teams there and stepped away, became the offensive coordinator for a couple schools, and now back at Clovis East. So, yeah, George, he's a great guy. Great guy. So I was happy to have him on the show and share about his experiences and what he's looking forward to at Clovis East. So last year, on the first show, I had Ryan Toss, the Central Section Commissioner, on. I look back at my show notes. I'm like, I'm going to bring Ryan back on the first show this year to talk. It's kind of an overview of the school year, some of the changes, what things might look like differently, what's going to stay the same. I've known Ryan for a long time as well. But you had a good summer, Ryan Toss? Talk about your summer.
I would think most coaches and athletic directors would agree when I say the summer seems to be shrinking every year. But, no, I had a good summer, had a conference back in Chicago, so, launched a little trip off of that and saw some baseball, saw a concert. Fortunate timing all lined up for Guardians were in town and we were in Chicago, so caught a couple games rooting on the Guardians versus the Cubs and had a good time. So yeah.
And the connection, if people don't know, is Ryan Toss. He coached Stephen Vogt when he was at Central Valley Christian. And he was a guard along with Ryan Colburn, right? The Fresno State quarterback. They were your guards on the JV team?
No, that was varsity. That was Stephen's senior year, Ryan's sophomore year. Yeah. Pretty. I wouldn't say they were great basketball players, but amazing leaders and amazing athletes. I mean, you couldn't ask for more from those two guys. So.
Defensively, I would think those two would stand out. Am I right on that?
If they got their arm bar into you, they're not moving too much. And so, they're great guys. If they had a better coach, we probably would have been a little bit more successful.
Stop. Is this year five or six for you as commissioner?
Starting year six.
All right, so Wrigley Field, that's on my bucket list. I mentioned in my opener, I got to go to New York City, saw Citi Field for the Mets. I've been to Yankee Stadium. So where are we at with stadium-wise? Like, you've hit all the legendary ones, right?
I don't know what you define as legendary.
Well, I mean, the Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, haven't been to the new Yankee Stadium. I think okay. I looked at the list this summer because crossed off Minnesota. I think we're about halfway. And so have some friends who are definitely farther along that list than I am. But, we're making our way here and there. And I've had a great time over the years checking out different ballparks. So
I found this website that sells charms that represent the different stadiums you've been to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of that. Yeah. So, yeah, I went ahead and ordered, I think, 11 of them.
Okay.
11 of them. So I'm up to 11. Obviously the California ones and then the East Coast ones, but not yet Wrigley Field or, any stadiums in Texas yet. But
I haven't hit Texas, any stadiums there either. I have plenty that I want to get to.
Yes.
It's just a timing issue, of course, with everything else.
We'll get there, Ryan.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
One of those days.
All right. So we're going to get into a few things here, some rule changes and what feedback you got from different athletic directors and maybe even coaches about playoffs and whatnot. Is there something significant, major, mid-major, in regards to rule changes or anything of significance in the Central Section this year?
Well, knowing your show and knowing your audience, probably the biggest one relates to playoffs. The schools voted in a alteration to a bylaw last year. We still have our base division system, so that's if you're a base four, in playoffs you could be 3, 4, or 5. The difference is with this vote, now if a school is a base division four, the only time they're going to be moved up to division three is if they're in the top 25% of that division three bracket. So if it's a 16-team bracket, they'd be a top four seed. And so that'll change things quite a bit, and we'll see how it works out. I can understand the perspective of a school not wanting to, quote-unquote, move up a division if they're going to be a 13, 14, 15 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Can 100% see that. We can't predict how it's going to go. We've run a bunch of hypotheticals using previous year data as different sports and things like that. And we will see some different things. We'll see some brackets that are not full. You know, we'll see some schools that traditionally would have gotten in the playoffs not getting in the playoffs because we might have 20 teams that are only eligible in, you know, a certain division. And so we'll see how that all works itself out. Got some great football coaches in here already today. You know, there's definitely a possibility of some, even like one of our Division I brackets might not be an 8-team bracket just because there has to be a Division II team at the top of one of those brackets to move up. And we don't have – I don't think we have 16 teams in Division I right now.
No.
And so there's going to be some things, and, you know, we say all the time, nothing's perfect, and it's always a work in progress. And so we'll see how it goes. I think that there will be some positives and some things that some people might look at and go, wait, that didn't help us at all, you know. And that's the case with any playoff system. So.
And you mentioned the Division I football bracket, specifically how last year you went to 8-8, so we had two champions, Central and then Frontier. Mm-hmm. What sort of feedback did you get from those?
Well, mostly positive, unless you know you happen to be involved with a school that you know
was the 8 seed.
Might have been in a division you didn't want to be in.
Sure.
And that's the case no matter what our system is, you know. And so, but for the most part, the games were definitely more competitive. I mean, if you would look at the scores last year versus the scores the previous year, games were more competitive. I don't necessarily love the extra week off for those teams, but also don't really know how to fix that issue, to be quite honest. And so, for the most part, the feedback was positive. It's just a challenge to always, you know, when those decisions are made and, I guess, you know, when our schools vote on things like that, you know, nobody's ever going to be 100% happy. You know, even within a league or a conference, you might be five happy schools and five unhappy schools.
Yeah.
And that might change from the football seeding day to the basketball seeding day. And because things just work out differently different times. So
I brought up the base divisions from your website, and it's all laid out there. Are the base divisions set for spring, winter, and fall, winter,
yep,
and spring right now? So it's all up on the website?
It is, and one of the questions we get is, you know, how are those determined now? So now that we're 3 years into this cycle, you know, 3.5 in some sports, the base divisions are determined by the average of what division you were in the last 3 years of playoffs. And so if you were go back to the example of a base Division IV school, and 1 year you were 3, 1 year you were 4, and 1 year you were 5, you know, add it up and divide it by 3, and you're still a 4. But if you were a 3-3 and a 3, you know, add that up and now you're a 3. And so it's going to update every year now at the end of each season. And so there's definitely some opportunity for movement up and or down. We'll be sending out an email next week that we always get a couple responses, but you'd be surprised some of the responses we get. We remind schools they can always ask to move up a base division.
Yes.
And to some, we are always pretty happy to get that response back, and they're like, absolutely, we want to go play in Division I, we want to go play in Division II. And but you would imagine, too, and I'm sure you get the comments, whether it's social media or other things, that we should be down a division. And it's just purely data-driven at this point in time. Sometimes people reach out to myself or anybody else in our office, and they're like, well, you guys got to fix this. Well, I'm not able to just fix it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We've talked about that over the years. One of the great misconceptions with our office is that myself or our assistant commissioner or any of us can just decide on Monday morning, hey, we want to change this.
Yeah.
And
judge, jury, and executioner, right? Boom.
Right.
Stamp it.
There's plenty of bylaws I don't like personally. There's plenty of things that, you know, over the years I voted to change when I was at a school, and those things are still in place. And so now it's just the joy of sometimes having to work with those bylaws and try to make the best out of them.
So just looking right now really quick before we move on, looks like 14 in football Division I right now. Looks like Frontier. I think Clovis East was actually a Division II base for the last couple of years.
They were.
Yeah. I don't think Frontier was. I could be wrong, but I see Bullard and Buchanan Centennial, mm-hmm. Clovis. You know, obviously the Clovis schools. I don't think Clovis West might have been D2.
You're correct. I think the last couple of years, East and West, were both in that Division II grouping. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I see it looks like 15 in D2 and a couple more, 17 in D3. It looks pretty darn even then when you get Division 5 and Division 6, you obviously have a lot more schools mm-hmm. up in the 20s there. So, okay, so, and that's interesting to me, Ryan, about, you know, the 25% in the top 25 percentile being able to move up and then maybe not even feeling a Division 1 bracket. So, hey, good conversations for me moving forward on this.
Well, and it's a good conversation. Our football advisory group is meeting, I think, Monday night. You know, and so I'm sure that'll be a topic of conversation there as well. We lean a lot on our advisory committees. You know, that's the coaches have a much better grasp of a lot of this stuff than mm-hmm. anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since I've been on a campus now. You know, it's been over 12 years. So yeah. It's I can't even think that I know everything that a current head coach knows about their sport. So,
really quick, basketball returning to Cylinder Arena, yes?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. Wrestling, too?
Yes.
Big success with wrestling, right? That was cool.
Wrestling's been now that we've been at Cylinder for wrestling, it's going to be really hard to imagine going to high school sites.
Yeah.
It's been a good thing. I know you had the Madera high football coach on earlier, so when we talk wrestling, I got to give a massive shout-out to Madera Unified. They just bring a legion of volunteers, and they've come alongside us on that and taken the lead and just done a great job as hosts of that event.
Cylinder Arena is still my favorite. I'm not shy about saying that. Yep. It's my favorite. Just plant myself there and watch great basketball. Rawhide, Margie Wright Diamond, baseball and softball plan?
We think so. Okay. Rawhide, you know, they are the most proactive venue we work with. They will reach out to us as soon as they can block off dates for their schedule. And so I'm pretty sure they've blocked off those dates next year. And then Margie Wright, that's the plan. Don't know if there's another alternative to Margie,
right?
To be quite honest, you know, if you look around our section, you know, we've looked at Cal State Bakersfield, looked at Cal Poly, you know, some places like that, and just don't know if they make as much sense as Margie Wright does for us right now.
Next year, so for 26-27, huge realignment. Poked around a little bit about it. Talked to Brandon Gilbert, athletic director from Bullard, about it. What's like for people that don't like, what are you talking about? Major realignment. What does that look like? Is Roosevelt going to be in the track now? Are you going to have to play? You know what I mean? I just hear all these different scenarios. What's like the Cliff Notes answer to this?
The Cliff Notes version, I guess, is that for the past 6-8 years, the Central Coast Athletic Association over in, you know, San Luis Obispo down to Rio Grande, you know, that group, they've operated as a conference. And what that means is that within that conference, they've had 3 different leagues that have changed on a sport-by-sport basis. So, you know, Mission College Prep, you know, they might have been in division or their top league for boys basketball, and for another sport, they might be in the third league. You know, who knows? I think a lot of our schools saw that model and saw how much more competitive the league play was, and realizing that not every school can be in that quote-unquote top league in every sport. And doesn't take long to look around, you know, at some of our local leagues and go, that school doesn't fit there in that sport, you know, but it sure does in that other sport. And so the biggest change for those in the Fresno Clovis area is I think it's a 22-team conference that came about, you know, for the schools, the districts really all kind of got together, worked together and said, we think this is, you know, we can make this work and make this a good thing for our kids. And that'll be, I think, 4 different leagues in most sports. I'm not sure what they're going to call them. That's up to them. But, you know, the top league will be ultra competitive, you know.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is I think that the second tier, third tier, and fourth tier will be equally as competitive. You know, might not be as high of a level. But the hope, I think, with all of this, whether it's we talk our playoff stuff or whether how the league realignment went, is trying to get away from running clock games to be as – brass taxes, you know, as you'd like to be, you know, just bluntly speaking, we hate seeing playoff games where there's a running clock. You know, I think a lot of schools don't like going to a league game, going over there and saying, boy, we have no shot tonight. And so the hope is that going to this conference model that, you know, schools will have more of an opportunity to compete on a night in, night out basis. The other thing we've heard from our schools that they seem to like so far is that they realize it gives them a lot of autonomy. You know, it's no longer, hey, our whole section has to vote on how our group here wants to do things. We want to do things this way. Our 22 schools are in agreement. Or if it's just majority, it might be, you know, a 14-8 vote or something like that. And they can make those changes at the local level. And so I'm excited to see it. It will definitely be different, though. It's another challenge for athletic directors.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a definite possibility that you think of the winter season. You might have your boys' basketball team in one league, your girls in another, and your boys' soccer in a third. You know, and that presents some challenges with transportation and scheduling facilities and things like that. But, again, things that they adults are trying to do to help kids.
Sure.
And so they're willing to try to jump through some of those difficult tasks if that's the end result. So.
Good Cliff's Notes version. Well, yeah, you should be a teacher.
Probably longer than Cliff's Notes.
So. All right, we only got a couple minutes here. My gosh, time's flying. All right, so what's a stat out there or a concept or a fun fact about the central section that you've come across that might be fascinating for the listeners, something that pops in your mind?
I don't ever know about fascinating because that's each of us have our own version of that. But one thing, just growing up here and experiencing different things throughout the years and watching regionals and state playoffs and things like that, I grew up always with the idea that the central section is, we're one of the smaller sections. You know, we're maybe the little brother sometimes. We don't feel like we get the respect we deserve and things like that. And the state office, our federated council, operates on a governance model and weighted voting. And so each section gets votes based on how many schools you have and how many students you have. And so I was just curious one day, and I looked it up, and if you go just by the number of students per section, we're number 3 in the state of California. Obviously, the southern section, it's its own monster,
yep.
Things like that. San Joaquin section up above us, you know, that's number 2, but then we're number 3 as far as the number of students, which kind of boggles my mind, just because I look around at some of the other section offices and see how many staff they have, and I look at our staff, and there's only 3 of us, you know, and I'm like, wait a second, maybe we need to work on that a little bit. But that's interesting to me. You know, our schools tend to be bigger, I guess I'll put it that way, because when we count number of schools, we're number 5, 6, you know, so it's interesting there. I think across the state, I think a lot of our schools have had so much success and have programs that people are very aware of and very impressed by that I think our stature has improved around the state. So I don't know if that's a shocking fact, but it's shocking just because I remember where I feel like when we had 80 schools, you know, and our farthest north school was Chowchilla, the farthest south school was Tehachapi.
Yeah.
And those days have, you know, long passed us by now.
Well, so. Winning state championships, hosting state events, the swim meet, the track and field meet, which is never going to move. It shouldn't move, right? Veterans Memorial Stadium. So all of those things definitely put a lot of eyes in the central section. And we got some good facilities and good people and lots of good stuff.
Well, I think the key with those events you just mentioned is the people that are running them.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's not our office. Those are just the amazing people on those sites that do such a great job. So, yep.
Well, Ryan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. And, have a good year, my friend.
Thanks for doing all you do for high school sports.
You are welcome. All right, show number 1 of year 5 is in the books. I hear the music. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Of course, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, Kenny Palinelli, Ryan Toss, who you just heard from, and George Petrasons. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Let's keep this thing rolling. We'll talk to you guys next week.